Hey everybody, it's Marcus here, and you are listening to the Good E-Reader Radio Show.
You're nobody till somebody loves you. You're nobody till somebody cares. You may be king, you may possess the world and its gold. But gold won't bring you happiness when you're growing old. The world still is the same, you never change it. As sure as the stars shine above, you're nobody till somebody loves you. So find yourself somebody to love. Same, you never change it. As sure as the stars shine above, well, you're nobody till somebody loves you. So find yourself somebody.
Welcome to the Goody Reader Radio Show, everybody. It's June the 19th, 2011, and that song was very fitting for what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about what do e-reader companies such as Pocketbook, Jetbook, AlluraTech, what do they need to do in order to attract more e-readers to their brand? If you look at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Kobo, they have wide expanse of ecosystems. They have well-developed stores set up with the intention of selling you books. They have interwoven a lot of social media elements. They have incorporated user reviews. They've really done a good job community building. And it is through this community do people ultimately make the decision whether to buy a Kindle or a Barnes & Noble or a Kobo. It's all about the community, and different communities offer you different incentives or factors. Kobo offers their Reading Life program, which gives you awards and achievements. It also allows you to see what books your friends are reading and make friend recommendations. Meanwhile, Barnes & Noble has programs such as Lend Me, which allows you to make friends, lend them your books, and in turn have your books lended to you. They also have some very popular message-borne type forums that have hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of messages. And these people are doing everything from forming book clubs to helping each other troubleshoot their issues and so on. And then there's Amazon, which is more of like a closed ecosystem, but they do have, they're pretty well the most long-lived. They are the most experienced. Shopping for a book is pleasant because you don't have to just read the description and see how it is, but there's always a ton of user comments. The Amazon community is very strong, and because Amazon makes so much money, they have the money to develop firmware and offer new programs and features such as self-publishing portals and things like that. And then you look at companies like Penn Digital, AlluraTech, Ectaco with their Jetbooks, and many other companies like that, and all they sell you is the e-reader. They don't sell you any type of experience. And I really think that that's why a lot of these companies aren't doing financially as well as they should, and not nearly selling enough units as they should, as well as availability for their products are lower than others. A lot of brands are only available online, where you look at a company like Pocketbook, they are starting to get in the retail sphere. Allure Tech is available at, say, chain stores like Future Shop in Canada. And, you know, Penn Digital, they're also available. But when you look at from the perspective of, I don't know anything about e-readers, I just heard that they were great and I kind of want to buy one. What have I heard of? And, you know, usually when it comes to people's mind, they would have heard of Sony, they would have heard of Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and Kobo, merely because you can't go to a Barnes & Noble bookstore, which there's a lot of them where they're not promoting a Kobo via the little stands that they have in there at Indigo's, Chapters, and various other bookstores. You have Kobo stands in Barnes & Noble, you have Nook, Nook Color, Nook Wi-Fi, Nook, a simple touch reader. You can't really get anywhere without not seeing them. And then you have Kindle, which is available not only online, but at Walmart, Staples, The Source, and many other places. So the bigger name e-readers enjoy a wider reach of availability, but I don't think that that's ultimately the reason why a lot of the people buy these e-readers. People buy e-readers for a great e-reading experience, to have a wide array of ebooks, magazines, and newspapers now. Some people enjoy touchscreen technology, some people don't, but for the purpose of today's topic, we're not really going to talk about whether people prefer touchscreen e-readers to e-ink e-readers or Android e-readers to the traditional e-ink experience. I want to really talk to you about what I think these companies need to do in order to attract more buyers to their product and effectively market them and build a community strategies. So all of these companies that I listed, Penn Digital, Allure Tech, Pocketbook, Itako, and there's many other companies, especially Velocity, I can go on with Kobe, many companies like this. They just sell you the hardware. They may have partnered with other stores to sell you ebooks. You know, if you buy any type of ebook reader billed as a tablet or a tablet billed as an e-reader, like the Penn Digital Novel or any of the Kobe, any of the Velocity Micro, you know, you'll see an Amazon app on there. You'll see a Kobo app on there. So they give you a chance to buy ebooks, but there's no pure experience joining these. When you, say, buy an Allure Tech or a Pocketbook or an Itako reader, sure, you have basic reader functionality, but you have no community interactions, no social media experiences. There's nobody that you could really go to ask questions, to see if, hey, I lost my guide, where's my digital guide? There's really no type of social fabric that is so important when you're trying to get a product over with the population and with prospective people to buy it. If you don't have any community, you don't have an ecosystem, it's like you don't even have a brand identity. And a lot of these sort of tablets look the same, especially tablets that are billed as e-readers. Penn Digital has a few of them. Velocity has a few of them. Kobe and other places like that, companies like that, even Arcos to a degree, have a lot of that, but they don't really have an identity. Some have a really kind of pathetic app store, but they don't really offer officially branded apps or an officially branded media experience. A lot of them don't even have official forums where their users can go and start community building with each other. So we know the problem. We know that a lot of these e-readers and entry-level tablets, you know, the sub-$200 ones, they are competing against some pretty prolific competition. You know, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Kobo. What are these e-reader companies doing different that all the companies I mentioned aren't doing? Well, this is, if you're management, if you're PR, if you're an engineer, programmer, if you're from any of these companies, I'm going to tell you what you need to do in order to get your product more over with your customers. Number one, you need Facebook, you need Twitter. You need a place to go and have this preloaded onto your devices that you're automatically following the company for updates. So when there's a new firmware issued, you're letting people know by Twitter and you're letting them know by Facebook. You're also having fan pages where people who are interested in buying your product can talk with people who already have your product and banter back and forth. A lot of companies discount the power of social media. I'm not huge on Facebook. I don't spend hours or anything like that on it, but I know a lot of people love it. And certainly there's the younger demographic that Facebook was there when they have matured and they just use it all the time. All their friends use it. Employing Twitter and Facebook and things like that are tremendously important. So if you're releasing an e-reader, if you're releasing a tablet, you need to let your customers know as soon as they're opening up the box that your company has a Twitter, your company has a Facebook account, and they have to follow you in order to find out essential updates. And through following you, they'll find other users that have the same e-reader as they do. They'll maybe look at the message board aspect of Facebook, whether they'll kind of find some maybe good deals. Maybe they'll hear about some new models coming out. Tremendously important. Let me tell you, having a website is not enough to hustle your product and to create some brand identity. Having a store with a pull-down menu that explains hardware features, software features, maybe has the user manual in digital form, this is not enough. You need to package your e-reader with the respect that you're building a brand around your consumer electronic products. I want to feel like I'm not just buying an Attacco e-reader, or I'm not buying an AllureTech reader. I'm buying the AllureTech experience. I'm buying it with the intention that this is a great community and I want to be a part of it. So this brings me to, you need, guys, an official forum. Budget and entry-level e-readers and tablets, you need forums in order for all of your users who buy your products to have their questions answered by your staff in a timely and efficient manner. You don't need to hire 10 or 15 people. You need to hire one community manager person or maybe get an intern to do it for you. But you need a place where you can post news, you can post interviews that you've done, you can post press by other companies, you can interact with your customers on a one-on-one basis, but you also give a region where all your customers can talk to each other together and build community. So if you notice the theme here, social media, forums, it's all a part of creating community, and community is so essential in trying to get your e-readers over. Sure, you could release a new e-reader every 4 or 5 months and hoping that your existing client base will upgrade to the newest and greatest, or hopefully if you're in a retail setting, you might enjoy a few impulse buys, but are you guys really satisfied with creating impulse buys? I think it's a matter of doing more business by creating community. So when I buy your product, I like it so much that I tell a few of my friends about it. And I say these guys are amazing. They help me with my product via their forums, and their help staff is awesome. Their forums are really great. You know, there's community book clubs that have started, and hey, look, the company is behind our book club, so they're going to give everybody a book for half off or even like a book for free. You know, little thin incentives to be able to grow your user base and actually reward them for being a part of your community. You just don't want them to buy your product, use it for a few weeks, and then forget about it. You want to create a lifelong customer. And the only way that you're going to be able to do that is create a community for your customer to participate in. And embed that into your e-reader. You embed that into your online business model. So we've talked about so far the social media element and why it's so important to have a forum. Now let's talk about the e-reader software themselves. Most e-readers that come out are based on a Linux-based operating system. A few of them are Android as well. You can't expect to package the bare-bone minimal apps and hope that that's enough to attract customers. I can't tell you how many Android tablets I've reviewed, and I've reviewed in 2010 close to about 40. In 2011, I've probably reviewed and had my hands on easily around 190 to about 200 at CES, Computex, and various other conventions I've been at. The unilateral consensus that I've reached is all of these tablets are Android 1.6 to Honeycomb, and hardly any of the apps developed for that particular device are nothing but just default Android apps. And it's the same with your e-readers. You know, you could hype a clock and a MP3 viewer and a picture app to your bloom in the face, but that's not going to really win me over, and that's really not going to win over a lot of people. You need a better experience for your customers to participate in. Hyping up an alarm clock in 2011, are you guys serious? Alright, so what you need to do is, of course, have the bare bone apps, but this isn't the stuff that you want to promote on your box. Alarm clock, you know, calculator, like games like chess or Sudoku. You know, people don't care. You know, people are buying your device for it to be an e-reader. They want to know why your e-reader is better than the competition's. For one, you're creating a community rather than just buying an e-reader. You're buying an experience other than just the product. The product, technology-wise and spec-wise, depending on, you know, does it have Wi-Fi, does it have 3G, does it have an LCD, a TFT, a capacitive, all those things drastically influence the cost. What type of CPU, what type of RAM do you have? All those necessarily reflect the cost. So I don't want to talk about that, because companies all the time release mid, high, low level gear, but you have to have more or less the same experience on all of them. You can't, if you're releasing an Android tablet, you can't just rely on the default Android garbage that comes with the stock operating system and, you know, throw the Amazon Book app on there or throw the Kobo app on there and think that we just put out another successful e-reader. No, you didn't. You put out a stock Android experience with maybe one customizable app that you didn't even write. So, what do you have to do? You have to develop your own Android apps. Well, how do you do that? You hire an Android development programmer or two people. They cost hardly next to nothing if you hire like the right people from freelance.com or thedigitalpoint.com or sitepoint.com or various other sites where people with really good skills live in countries where your dollar goes a lot more like a long of a way. Of course, I'm not talking about slave labor, but you know, why pay someone in the US $80 an hour when you could pay someone, I don't know, in Romania for like $30, or in the UK for exponentially less. Even India, there's a high-tech population there. There's a lot of very smart people, and you can pay them very, very good rates by their own standards, but you can get away with hiring more people to develop your apps. You guys need, I know a lot of like the companies like Attacko, like Pocketbook, like Allure Tech, you're not swimming in money, you don't have unlimited capital, you're not, for the most part, public IPO companies, you don't have dedicated shares coming in every month. You need to be able to develop a strategy that's not only cost efficient, but is also long-term efficient. So you need to basically develop your own Android applications. Okay, so what do you want to develop? What's the point of developing Android custom applications? Well, for one, it could be a portal to all of the social media elements I've listed earlier. It could have direct links to your Facebook, so you could have a Facebook app on there, and then, you know, a little script that basically makes them be your friend as soon as they sign up. Or to have the Twitter app preloaded on there, or a Twitter derivative type app on there, and as soon as they like log in, and they're automatically following you. If you have a forum, if you have a blog, you want to automatically have that stuff bookmarked, or those types of apps right on the front page of your Android device. Or if you have a Linux-based e-reader, then you hire a simple Linux programmer. Linux is tremendously open source. It's not that hard to find people to develop apps for you. So the same type of apps I'm telling you to develop for Android, they're perfectly applicable for Linux as well, although there's different types of requirements, but I'm not going to bog you down by programming semantics. What you really have to do is incorporate custom apps in your unit. You can't just rely on a contact list, a picture app, a music app. You need to, in your music app, to have an EQ. You need for them to be able to set the volume in an easily efficient manner. If you have a pictures app, you have to allow them to rotate the picture, to inverse the picture, to give the user the ideal picture size unique to their machine. There's so many of these devices out there that don't give the users any relevant information. Hey, I want to load a screen saver in your device. What size does it have to be? No user manual or anything gives you that information. In order to find it, it's endless hours spent on Google. This is the type of information that could be on your forum and could let people know. Or you could have like a little kind of step-by-step guide on your e-reader. And I'm not talking about a user manual that's 90 to 20 pages. I'm talking about in bullet point format, little essential advanced tasks. How to set up scrolling wallpaper, how to do this, how to do that, you know, the most common type elements. But what you really need to do is stop relying on the stock Android experience to sell your units, because the stock Android experience sucks. Everybody loads their own apps on it anyways. You do yourself no favor by pretty well any user that buys your low-rent Android device to just delete everything that you have on it because all of its standards. Like buying a PC and all you have on it is Minesweeper and Solitaire. That's the type of experience that you're giving to your customers as an e-reader. It's a new PC with nothing on it but Minesweeper. I don't know. Like calculator and other kind of subpar run-of-the-mill apps, and you're billing it as the newest generation e-reader. It's not. You're not really giving people any type of reason to buy your device. So social media, you need to start forums. You need to start developing your own apps. They don't have to be crazy, but if you if you don't have your own ebook store and you're directing people to ebook stores, have your apps on there. You know, have your Kobo, have your Amazon, have your Borders, the apps on there. But, you know, give your users your own type of e-reading program. Teach your users how to load their own books on their device. If I buy any type of e-reader, such as the Aluratech Libre Air that I just purchased, or if I buy the Ektako JetBook Mini, or if I buy the Pan Digital Novel 9-inch, if I buy a lot of these e-readers, there's no custom app that's developed by these companies that's an officially branded app. This app is for the purpose of reading books. Now, this is tremendously important. A lot of Linux-based e-readers do not have an officially branded app. It's just like a simple reading application that you may have downloaded, or one of your programmers may have customized, but the app wasn't built from scratch, and so it doesn't have a lot of the functionality that a lot of clients or your customers should expect. So let's talk about having an officially branded app for either your Linux-based e-reader or your Android e-reader. You need to know that a lot of customers use EPUB, PDF, text, and RTF files, and sometimes PRC, but EPUB and PDF are the most popular formats in the galaxy right now. So many people either buy EPUB books from other bookstores because it allows them to comparatively shop around, and then they use Adobe Digital Editions to facilitate those that store purchase content from device to device, to your smartphone, to your e-reader, to your tablet, or what have you. And most of these e-readers that I buy, especially for all the ones under $200, the Allure Libre Air is guilty of this. Same with the line of JetBooks, is that they don't allow you to edit the margins. They don't allow you to really edit the line spacing, to change the fonts, if changing fonts is even available, which most of them's not. If it is, they may have one or two fonts only to choose from. If you want to make text smaller or larger, often they don't even give you those options, or if they do, there's maybe two or three levels you can choose from. You need to be able to give your customers a wide variety. I want to be able to change line spacing. I want customers to be able to change the margins. I know that there's different book encoding for text files as to EPUB as to PDF, but you have to know when you're releasing a tablet build as an e-reader, or whether you're providing a pure e-ink experience, or whether you're selling LCD, TFT, mono, reader. You have to know that people are buying it with the intention of reading. So you have to make this reading app the best app you can be. So not only do customers want to change fonts, margins, line spaces, they want to be able to choose among 6 to 8 different fonts on what they want, instead of just having, this is font size A, this is font size B, this is font size C. A lot of fonts that I see, it's basically the same font, 1 to 6, 1's the lowest size, 6 is the highest size. There's no visual cues telling me how big that font is. So you guys really have to sit, you have to give a visual indication and show that font on the screen. Font number 1 is this small. Font, the highest font I have is this big. So people don't actually have to change their font 5 or 6 times to find the perfect one. They look at the visual cues. Give your customers more visual cues when they edit ebooks. Also, what's tremendously important when you're doing the e-reading experience is let your customers take notes. Let your customers take highlights. Let them be able to save these highlights. Let your customers to be able to save their notes. A lot of students are buying your devices. A lot of book lovers are buying your devices. I know a lot of book lovers that will see a particular sentence, a particular passage, and say, wow, I want to remember that. So allow them to do highlights. Allow them to do annotations. Then allow them to send those annotations and highlights via Wi-Fi, which most of your e-readers have, and then send them to Twitter and Facebook as status updates. This is why it's so important to spend the extra money and pay actual programmers to implement 2011 features. I review a lot of e-readers, as you probably know if you've looked at our e-reader YouTube channel at youtube.com/user/goodereader, and time and time again, I kind of point these same things out, and it's like these e-reader companies don't even listen. I'm as tired as you guys are as your company releasing subpar products and just spamming so many of them in the marketplace that eventually you guys make money, but you need to do it the right way. You need to be able to make custom applications for your devices instead of relying on stock applications for your devices. You need to be able to create a community rather than have no community. You need to give your customers the option to come to you first and then go elsewhere, e.g. search Google, and otherwise later. Otherwise, what you're going to have happening is you're going to have other forums like our Good E-Reader forum. You're going to have forums like mobilread.com. You're going to have all of these places where people go to talk about your ebook reader or the problems or their success stories with it instead of coming to your official forums. Why is that bad? Is because it's giving people other places to go instead of you. you're supposed to be creating an online destination for these people to go, and you're simply not. You're saying, we don't want to deal with it, we want these guys to deal with it, or it's easier for them to run it than for us to run it. That is a bad attitude, because you're not creating brand identity, you're not creating a brand loyalty. What you're simply doing is providing a product for people to buy, and then saying, we don't help, go elsewhere, we just sell the equipment. And that's the wrong attitude to have in 2011 to try to get over an e-reader or a sub $250 tablet over. There is so many e-readers and so many tablets out there. Why would they want to buy yours? You have to convince them with things other than specs and other than PR hype factors why they should go with you as a viable and long-term consumer product. For Giddy Reader, my name is Marcus. This has been one of my most glorious rants in a while. I definitely hope that if you know people working in the e-reader industry at any of these companies I've mentioned, please give them a link to this audio cast or tell them to email me at Marcus, M-A-R-K-U-S, at goodyreader.com, and I'll lay down the law on what they need to do in order to remain competitive and valid in 2011, instead of releasing new e-readers that, as soon as they come out, it looks like they belong in a museum. See you later, everyone.